This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Third down, Engel. Fields flings that corner. Moore! Touchdown Bears! Right in front of Jesse Bates as Chicago scores first.
And how about that throw?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Bates had outstanding coverage. Field put it right where it had to be.
Fourth and 17. Heinicke with the lip spins away. Throws across the body. It's intercepted by Kyler Gordon. Second pick of the year for the second year guy out of Washington. The year 2024, knowing that for this second season in a row, the Chicago Bears own the number one overall draft pick in the NFL draft, which comes up at the end of March. Also, the Chicago Bears win. As you heard those highlights on CBS television, the Bears win. They beat Atlanta 37-17 yesterday at Soldier Field. I was there. You better believe I was there. Justin Fields looked good. That's what I could tell you right off the bat here as we do welcome you in live and local on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Rohde, and I am very happy to be here with you on New Year's Day. Or guess what? I would not have agreed to be here with you for the next 4 hours, 7 a.m. That's what time it is right now. If you don't feel like looking at your clock as you're rolling around in your bed wanting Bears, it is 7:02 on January 1st, and we are open. We are opening our phone lines. Tyler Farengol is our producer. We literally just DX'd the telephone, and he's already on the phone. And I have just barely started to talk. But based on the text line that I'm kind of looking at in my peripheral vision, I can see you guys are already hungry to talk about the Chicago Bears. So today is going to be a blast. And, yeah, if you do want to get in here, calls and texts. I got things to say here, but we will get to your text messages and your calls at 312-644-6767. On the show today, joining me, kind enough to be with me here on the holiday, are actually three people who were in the press box yesterday with me at Soldier Field. Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times will join me 1 hour from right now, 8 a.m. for Potsy for his spicy takes. The guy that sits next to me at Soldier Field in the press box, Chris Emma of 670thescore.com, will join me at 9 a.m. And the guy who sits a couple seats down from me as well, one of the NBC Sports Chicago brothers, it is Alex Shapiro. He will join me at 10 a.m. And we had a good conversation. He has some takes on Justin Fields, and he started talking about Justin Fields. I said, hold it right there. I said, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I said, I will lead you into it at 10 a.m. So that's going to be a big part of our conversation here as the Bears do beat Atlanta 37-17. Bears eliminated from the playoff picture. Yesterday, what did it mean for Justin Fields? Justin Fields, guess what Justin Fields did yesterday? He moved the meter. He moved the meter finally in a game, and he's had some good games this year. But for the first time, one of the things that I've been calling for all season long since training camp, if you've been listening to my reports all season long on all of the shows here on The Score, including the ones that I host periodically, I have been looking for discernible difference from Justin Fields within games. Games after which I could say, that was a hell of a game by Justin Fields, and I don't have a whole lot of critiques for it. Yesterday was one of those games, finally, for Justin Fields.
What grade would you give him after yesterday's performance?
This is tough. Relative to Justin Fields' season, an A. On the overall, I'm going to go B plus.
I like it.
I mean, it was strong. 20 of 32, 268 yards, a touchdown, zero interceptions, a 99.5 rating. He also had 11 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. And we'll get into some of the specifics of what I liked as well, and we will hear from Justin Fields in this segment as well. But discernible difference happened in that game. Now, meaning-wise for Justin Fields, while the meter moved, was this enough to really take a look at it and say, okay, this changes everything? If you've been listening to me, I've been pretty critical of Justin Fields. And when people have asked me, is Justin Fields going to be back next year? My leaning has been no, that Justin Fields probably won't be back next year because this is an upgradable position, especially considering the quarterbacks that exist in the draft. I still tend to think that Justin Fields has more to do to prove, and there is still one game to go. So I don't know that in the big picture, this changes a whole lot. One of the things that I take very seriously, and we all have to take very seriously, is the general manager, Ryan Poles. Yesterday was an incredibly emotional day at Soldier Field. Like, I felt it at 9 o'clock yesterday in the morning when I got there. There was just a feel. I mean, I park in the north garage right by Soldier Field. There was already people in the garage tailgating, ready to go. There was just a feeling. I mean, there were 60,000 people legitimately at Soldier Field yesterday, and the emotions were real. Fans chanting for Justin Fields to be back, and all of that has to be taken into account. And guess who feels that too? Because Ryan Poles has talked about it, about the emotions that he feels in the moment of a game. I was feeling that. I think everybody was feeling that. But you do have to still step back and really account for everything that has happened this season and in the Justin Fields era. And you have to project, what was this a one-off, or was this actual progress for Justin Fields? Is this what the season has been building up to? And that's very difficult to tell. So I'm going to do my best to make sure that I take into account the entire season for Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears this year. But yesterday was excellent for Justin Fields right from the beginning. The opening drive, the 32-yard pass to DJ Moore. They end that drive with a 7-yard dot to DJ Moore in the end zone. And DJ Moore was just spectacular yesterday in terms of the separation that he was getting, in terms of beating the coverage that Atlanta was putting out there. Yeah, you do have to give credit to Luke Getsy for yesterday, because they did have a plan. They watched what the secondary does and does not do for Atlanta, and they did exploit that yesterday in a big way. 312-644-6767 is the number. Before we get to some of your calls, I do want to hear from Justin Fields. And one of the things that Justin Fields was asked about yesterday is the question that we're all going to be pondering for a long time here in this offseason on The Score, and that is his future.
We talked through the year about how there's uncertainty about where you're going to be next year.
Yeah.
Did you take a moment at all today and look around? Because this could have been your last.
I did. I mean, I did, but I always do that, you know. You know, I've just made a big emphasis on living in the present moment, and I definitely did it. I will definitely remember this game for the rest of my life. Just, you know, the atmosphere, the fans, the chants, the snow. You know, I don't like snow as a quarterback, but looking back on it, it was great. Just the atmosphere, the fans, the game, and, you know, playing the hometown team where I'm from, beating them. So it was a good day today.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Justin Fields right there on the Bears 37-17 win over Atlanta. We lined up like we do after games outside of the Bears locker room, and they were probably about 8 to 10 minutes technically late in letting us in. And then as we all trooped into the locker room, one of the largest media contingencies in the NFL, it was just this big cloud or waft of cigar smoke in the locker room. That was the smell. And it was like, oh, man, smells like there's been a party going down in here. Didn't smell any champagne or alka. It wasn't completely old sticky bar smell that was going on in there. But, yeah, it was like, oh, man, what's going on in here? Just this parade of people. And we still haven't really gotten down to the bottom of who brought the cigars in, but somebody brought a bunch of really good cigars in there, laid them out over the tables, and obviously several players smoked the cigars. Some players did not enjoy smoking the cigars, but it was quite the atmosphere as we got in there. And, yeah, it was good to see people happy. It was good to see Justin Fields happy. The chants from the crowd that you heard Justin Fields allude to, with the crowd talking about how we want Justin. And I know that meant a ton to him. And let's take a listen to that here.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it. You know, it was great. You know, ever since the moment I've got here, the fans here have been great, you know, to me, to the team. I was saying, somebody in there, like last year when we didn't have a good record, I mean, they're still showing up, you know, late in the season, cheering us on. So, Chicago Bears fans, you know, definitely number one in the world. And, you know, just know I love y'all. We love y'all as a team. And, you know, they're always great. So definitely very appreciative of them and, you know, how they just supported our team all year.
If you didn't watch this game the way I watched this game yesterday, if you didn't see every snap and you weren't completely invested in it, let me just tell you why Justin Fields was good yesterday, other than the numbers. You know, sometimes numbers don't tell the story. In this case, I think the numbers did tell the story. There was some plays in this game. Like, you got to go back to the first quarter of this game and the loft, that sideline loft to DJ Moore, where DJ Moore goes over his shoulder to catch the football, was pretty spectacular. The timing of the throw by Justin Fields, the anticipatory nature of it, and then the fact that DJ Moore kind of turned around and sort of blindly caught the ball, because as he even admitted, it was in the snow and it was difficult for him to see. That might have been one of Justin Fields' prettiest passes in a Bears uniform, in a subtle way. Another one of his great passes actually was one that was dropped by Tyler Scott in the end zone. But there was some authority on Justin Fields' throws yesterday, and absolute confidence. So there was that play. Here's another subtle one, too. And this definitely is one that maybe you had to be watching to truly appreciate. But I wrote this one down. Second quarter, it's 14-7 Bears. It's 3rd and 8. Crucial spot. Remember how much difficulty the Bears had on 3rd and down early in the season? They got over those issues. The 3rd and 8 pass right up the gut, right up the middle for about 9-10 yards to DJ Moore, and you were on your way with a first down. And then the Houdini play for Justin Fields yesterday. And that was the play, again, in the second quarter. He rolls to the right, and I believe that was designed. I never got to ask that question. It looked like it. It didn't seem like he was necessarily, quote-unquote, escaping the pocket. But he then accelerates like he's going to run, like he was starting to do a 40-yard dash. And then he just kind of deaccelerates, kind of taps on the brakes just a little bit, finds Tyler Scott for a first down. That's the essence right there. That is the essence of what Justin Fields can do to separate himself from other quarterbacks, to get to the next level. That is it. Because we know that it was a failed experiment on all sides that Justin Fields was going to be a pure pocket quarterback. And guess what? Guess what? One thing that drives me crazy that I hear from people, and I know that this is going to come across again as Luke Getsy defending, but maybe this is defending the entire organization when I say what I'm going to say here. We all wanted Justin Fields to be a pocket passer at the end of last year. That, most importantly, includes Justin Fields. Everybody, we were all calling for it. Remember? End of last season. So, oh, that was great what he did. This is thrilling. This is exciting. Okay, now let's see you pass a little bit more. Because if you add pocket passer to that ability to run and do all those things with your legs, dude is going to be a superstar. And that's why some people were predicting that Justin Fields would be the MVP. It's because of that possibility. Everybody wanted it, including Justin Fields. So it didn't work. Maybe the Bears should have gotten out of it a little bit more quickly. Maybe they went all in a little bit too much when it came to trying to make him a pocket passer, but that's what everybody wanted, including Justin Fields. It did not work in that regard, but the product we saw yesterday, I think everybody can work with it. Is that sustainable? That is the big question at 312-644-6767. Last thing for now that I'll say about Justin Fields and his day in terms of things that I highlighted, and there's more for sure, but how about a 4th-and-1 conversion, Tyler? How about that? There was a 4th-and-1 conversion, a tush-push near the end zone in the second quarter. Man, they didn't mess around. I guess there was a little bit of delicious bread and butter for the Bears in that case. That led to the Roschon Johnson touchdown, and it made it 21-7 Bears at the time. So that was huge. That was a big moment. So those are a few of the things I'm looking at from Justin Fields. But I am asking you, what did this game do for you if you are a Justin Fields fan? Or not. 312-644-6767 is the number. The defense also played well in this game. You had 4 interceptions. Tyreek Stevenson, TJ Edwards, also Kyler Gordon. Tyreek Stevenson had a couple, as a matter of fact. Jervon Dexter played well. I definitely want to talk about him as the show goes on. And the Bears managed to elude, for the most part, any kind of major lull. And that's obviously been a problem for the Bears this season. And we're going to get into all of that as well. When we return, I see you guys lining up. I'm definitely going to get to your calls around the corner. And if you're on hold, you are going to get to hear from DJ Moore as well. Throughout the morning, we are going to hear, I did my usual dance through the locker room, talked to a lot of players, and DJ Moore, 9 catches, 159 yards, and a touchdown, averaged just over 17 yards per catch. You're going to hear my conversation and others coming up here next, and your calls as well. I am Mark Grody. We are live and local talking Bears until 11 a.m. here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Third down, Engel. Fields flings that corner. Moore! Touchdown, Bears! Right in front of Jesse Bates, and Chicago scores first.
And how about that throw?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Bates had outstanding coverage. Field put it right where it had to be.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
No, it's no joke. Are you kidding me? No. This is not a joke, folks. One of my New Year's resolutions this year is when we broadcasters say things like, are you kidding me? No, this is no joke, folks. This is serious stuff. Do they realize that on CBS television, how serious this is with Justin Fields? We are not kidding. We are not joking around. DJ Moore had a wonderful day for the Bears. My God, is that guy good? Admit it. You did not know how good DJ Moore was. I'm admitting it. I didn't know how good T.J. Moore was.
He is so good.
Oh, man.
What a trade by Ryan Poles.
Oh, yeah. Like, he looks so good in so many ways, not just for identifying D.J. Moore as the guy that he'd wanted in the trade. And I know that he may have wanted a certain defensive player first, but to have identified that team. I mean, that's what you do. I guess that's GM 101. You want to trade with the teams. If you're looking at a future pick, you want to trade with the teams that you anticipate may be bad the next year, so you can do things like get the number one overall pick, as the Bears did clinch yesterday. But what a revelation DJ Moore has been. A career best 1,300 yards now on the season. Gets there with 9 catches, 159 yards, and a touchdown, a long of 32. And again, a career high 1,300 yards.
Can I also say, too, I mean, I am so glad he has not missed a single game this season. I mean, I know he got kind of banged up last week, but he hasn't missed a game this year.
I couldn't believe that how healthy he looked in this game. And I just say that based on what I saw from him in the previous week, being at Soldier Field and him hurting that ankle and then coming back in and really playing the part of decoy for the most part. But that decoying, guess what? That worked. And then in last week's game, he had the biggest play of the game, I thought. The 3rd and 4 that turned into a 7-yard play. The guy has been incredible. Cole Kmet was a whole lot like DJ Moore yesterday in terms of not being effective, but being out there. And Cole Kmet's a guy that has yet to miss a game in a Bears uniform, and that's pretty cool. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Going to jump on some of your calls here in a second at 312-644-6767. A few text messages here first. 847, Grody, some mention of Atlanta's defense and their stats before this game. CBS guys said they were considered, quote, good. Yeah, no, they're top 10 defense. They're one of the best red zone defenses in the league. So guess what? You could add that to Justin Fields' meter moving day that he beat a good defense. He did. 708, the ref who screwed over the Lions is the same one who didn't call the roughing the passer on the Hail Mary play that Fields got creamed. Okay, so we're going back to the last week as well. I will tell you something that was very funny about yesterday. I have not watched the TV copy, so maybe you guys can let me know about this. But do you guys notice, I don't know if they play it on the television, but every time Larry Borum, 75, was eligible, the referee made a huge point of saying 75 is eligible. 75 is eligible. 75 is eligible. 3 times they would say it. And no, Tyler, that was not part of the broadcast. Yes. Okay. No, that's funny. Well, that's something I can bring to you just because of the mishap that they had in the Detroit game. So it was obviously there was a memo that went out to the referees. Here's what we need to do for now. But before we get this really taken care of and we visit the offseason to try to figure out what the hell is going on with eligible players and making sure you report it to the refs as the Lions got screwed because they apparently did or did not report and end up losing that game and Dan Campbell takes a hit and all that kind of stuff. But for now, I think that they let everybody, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a 3-time rule. So make sure it is announced loud and clear for the world to know so they know it ain't on us. So the Bears could actually be playoff spoilers for the Whack Pack next week. That comes from the 708. Yeah, Bears have a chance to do that. By the way, we learned yesterday, I don't know if this has been made official, but we were told that we were allowed to reveal this, and that is the Bears at the Packers. That game will be on Sunday. That will be a 3:25 game at Lambeau Field. We didn't know. We didn't even know what day of the game, because there was talk about it potentially being Saturday, an evening game, a noon game. But Bears, for your planning purposes, Bears at the Packers Sunday at 3:25. Before we get to your calls, gang, I'm coming for you. I do want to take you into the locker room. I was in the locker room after the game, and one of my first stops was by the locker of DJ Moore.
Cole Kmet was saying that he was kind of astonished how often Atlanta left you open. Did you feel that way today?
No. We was kind of setting them up for with rub plays, and they happened to be in a specific coverage that allowed us to get the rub and be wide open.
Does that mean a lot to you to surpass your career high?
Yeah. So that I mean, 5 years in Carolina, then to come here with year one and surpass that is amazing.
You mentioned the Houdini act that Justin Fields, that I assume you're talking about, where he eludes the sack and then runs down the field. Are you surprised by it anymore? Because, I mean, he's done that, it feels like, a handful of times this year.
Yeah, because you never know what he's going to do. And that one was like a real extended play. So for him to even break that first tackle and just start zooming to get the first down was amazing.
What do you think about you getting the number one overall pick, team?
I mean, I feel like the number one overall pick when they traded for me, so I don't know. But, I mean, thanks to Carolina, so, I mean, that's all I can say to that.
DJ, how much have you vouched for Justin Fields this all season just to keep the chemistry together?
I said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. What makes him not the quarterback? I mean, today, I mean, the Houdini act should have just put the nail in the...
Hey, both!
He's not running back, but he's him. So, I mean, he's going to be the quarterback. I want him to be the quarterback.
Take him! Nico!
I said what I said. Now it's on the higher up, so it's up there. It's up to them.
Did you hear those chants that we want
Justin? I did hear those chants, and I know they box is right there, so I know they heard that stuff too. So,
I said what I said! So I don't know, that's changed meanings for me. That's DJ Moore, by the way. When I hear I said what I said, I think of two people. I think of Bears former wide receiver Dale Drake, but I now think of Doja Cat, because she said what she said. She can paint the town red. So there's new lexicon, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, DJ Moore, I love when I asked him the question about the number one pick, and he kind of sheepishly said, and there was a bad word in there that I had to cut out. But he was like, "Yo, I think I was kind of the number one pick in that trade." Yeah, you are. Yes, you are, DJ. There's absolutely no denying it. He's been great with us this year as well, and great on the Molly and Haw show. Usually on Mondays. I assume that they'll probably talk to him at some point in time this week right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It is tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Oh, sick. Look at you, Tyler. Thank you. DJ Moore, 8 o'clock tomorrow with Mully and Haw right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What did this game do for you in terms of Justin Fields? It moved the meter as far as I was concerned. You know, I've been looking for discernible difference. I saw it yesterday with Justin Fields. I don't know what it means in the big picture. I tend to think you still have to look at the whole thing, the whole body of work from Justin Fields, but that certainly was an inflection point for Justin Fields yesterday. Let us now, without further ado, let us get to your phone calls at 312-644-6767. We start with JC from Oak Lawn. JC, thanks for waiting, bro. You're on the score.
Well, thank you for fielding my call today.
You got it, JC.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate
you. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. We got the wheel. Now, if you want to judge him for the whole season, you have to look also at the coaching staff and the continuity, I would say, of the solidness of the team. You had two coaches to go. And I think now that the team is more firmly under the thumb of the head coach, and there is the confidence back with him. I don't think it always was during the season. Because you could also go to route B and say, could we, you know, are we through? Is the jury still out on the head coach? But I think that during this tenure of the games that he's played well, you see the potential of him making decisions. And then again, let's look at the possibility of having Marvin Harrison Jr., which is a pick I don't think the Bears can afford to pass up, on the other side, and filling in with the other picks with offensive linemen, and then possibly getting a good big running back.
Interesting,
then,
man.
Then you're talking about see, now, because we don't know that Caleb Wilson Williams can play on the, and we really don't know that yet. The speed of the game is different in the NFL than it is in the college game.
Yep, and we've all been hurt before too. JC, thank you for the call. You sound great, man. You really do. There are some tantalizing prospects in this NFL draft. There is no doubt about it. And Marvin Harrison Jr. is certainly one of those guys, hyper-talented. He does feel like a can't-miss guy. Like, he feels like he's going to be a star. Caleb Williams continues to be an extremely tantalizing prospect. And now it's time to go to work on that guy and really dig into the evaluation. And that is certainly what we will do. You know, there are a lot of people who already are like, you just got to take the guy, no matter what Justin Fields has done. But so those guys are tantalizing. As far as Matt Eberflus is concerned, we'll hear from the Flus a little bit later on his responses to the Ian Rappaport report that it wasn't even really a report. It was just him surmising that, essentially paraphrasing, that things look pretty good for Matt Eberflus. Nobody has reported that Matt Eberflus is going to be back. That was sort of irresponsibly handled. I'm not saying by Rappaport, but by other media and fans, in terms of the way it was broken down, as if Flus was back. I'll tell you a couple things. You know, once I saw that report, I did reach out to some people, and no, there is no confirmation that I have received that he is back. It still could happen. And anybody that asked me that question now for a couple of months, and some people may not want to hear this, my answer has been, if I have to say yes or no, I do think that Matt Eberflus will be back. And this was, again, this is well prior to what we saw yesterday from the Bears and Matt Eberflus. And this is based on two things. Based on the way Ryan Poles talks about him in a genuine way. Not in the way that you could just kind of talk around an endorsement for a head coach, because we all know that has happened. The way he's talked about him, and he talked about him when the bleep was hitting the fan earlier this year, and the way he talked about him was a guy that he loves and that he is going to, you know, go down with if he has to. So those two guys came in together. Got to keep that in mind. There is no separation, and I get it. The X factor is Kevin Warren, but I think Kevin Warren also loves Ryan Poles. So if he really loves him, like I think he does, then you give him autonomy, and that probably means that Matt Eberflus is back. So just knowing that and knowing some things that I have talked to with people at Halas Hall, I do believe the Flus will be back. The other part is because you need more than that, right? I mean, when he gives his resume, when he walks into Kevin Warren's office at the end of the day, and he's been reading us his resume, the Matt Eberflus has recently, about the things that have gotten better specifically on defense. Because when you come in and your expertise is defense, and the defense gets better, and it's an obvious correlation when it's on your watch, then that is a huge check mark in your favor. So while I cannot report yet that Matt Eberflus is going to be back, my gut is that he is going to be back. I don't feel as confidently about Luke Getsy returning, but that's not out of the realm of possibility either. Let's go back to the phone lines. We go to Mark in South Bend, Indiana. What's going on, Mark?
Happy New Year, Mark. Good job this year on doing Bears update and keeping us filled in on the whole season there, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that.
You bet. And my question is this. Since the playoffs are all set, the Bears are eliminated out, Fields had that real good game, his draft stock is real high to keep him or to trade him with a premium game he had yesterday. Is there any chance the Bears might set him down against Green Bay?
Man, that's interesting. I don't, Mark, thanks for the call and thanks for the kind. Did you have another question? I'm sorry, Mark.
And I think the thing about Eberflus and Getsy could go either way also, and you just mentioned that. But I think the best thing might do is to sit Fields down, don't risk an injury at the end of the year, and the playoff thing has been settled. And I'd like to hear your opinion about it.
All right, thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call. And again, thank you for the kind words. You say stuff like that, you're always going to get the second question. You know what I mean? Like I was ready to cut him off, but you say stuff like that, 2, 3, 4 questions is fine, depending on how glowing you are about me. But it's a good question. Here's my guess. I think Justin Fields will start, and I think that he will play. I would say that it's not out of the realm of possibility that he comes out at halftime and we see the Bajancy in there and we see Nathan Peterman at some point in time. And you know who their emergency quarterback is? This is one of the things that I learned earlier this year.
Can I take a shot at this?
Yeah, man.
Is it Trace McSorley?
For the Bears?
Yes.
No. It's actually their emergency quarterback, and I will just tell you this.
Okay.
No, that's a great guess, man. I love you pulling up a Trace McSorley there, Tyler Farengol, but it is a position player that is the emergency quarterback for the Bears. I reported this earlier this year through my sources. It's a running back.
Khalil Herbert?
Nope. Roschon Johnson.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Roschon. At least in one game he was. Is what I found out. I think that was a Tyson Bagent game, and they were one injury away from it being Roschon. So
I wanted to ask your opinion on this because Wani was on with Molly and Haw this week, and he brought up a great point. He said that if Justin Fields sits against Green Bay, Eberflus loses the locker room. What did you think about that?
Well, I think if it depends on what the intention is, because they don't have to reveal their intention, but they could look at it as Justin Fields, that's our quarterback for the future, man. There's no reason getting this guy a torn ACL or something ridiculous where he now has to recover for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I could see a scenario where he comes out. However, wouldn't it be nice to see Justin Fields do something similar to what he did yesterday and continue to move the meter? Because let's just say Justin Fields has another game similar to his 20 for 32, 268 yards, a touchdown, and zero picks. I mean, he's really making a case here at the end of the season, because you look for improvement as the season goes on. You look for progression. And if he does that in the final two games of the season, I think that also has to be taken into account on the entire resume and the entire evaluation of Justin Fields. Let's go to Jerry from Aurora. Hello, Jerry. You're on the Score.
Morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Jerry.
You keep Fields. If he gets it, let him play the way he is now with the first four games of the year. They've probably been 2-2 because the defense wasn't as strong, and they would probably be buying for a playoff berth. You look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's been in the league longer than Fields, and look what Jackson's doing. You can't count the first year under Darrell Loggins. They talk about you should know in 3 years. Technically, you could look at it as Fields has been there a year and a half. He's making the strides. Use your first pick. You get Marvin Harrison. If you don't, Arizona's going to get him. And if you draft a quarterback, why start over all over again?
Jerry, thanks for the call. Here's the only thing. I would continue this conversation with Jerry, but we do have to take a break. If you're going to do the year-and-a-half evaluation thing for Justin Fields, then guess what? You have to do the same thing for Matt Eberflus. You have to say, last year is a wash. And you have to do the same thing for Luke Getsy. So, I don't know. Ask yourself, do you want to do that? When we return, let's talk more about Matt Eberflus's job security, because I will play for you what Ian Rappaport of NFL Network said, and then we will hear from Matt Eberflus reacting to that report. Plus, more of your calls. We're going to continue with that throughout the morning. I see you guys. 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. I said what I said. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. No longer Daryl Drake. It's Doja Cat. Said what I said. Welcome back in to The Score. I'm Mark Grody. I get to be with you on New Year's Day until 11 this morning. Bears win 37-17 over Atlanta in impressive fashion. Justin Fields was very good. He moved the meter. The Bears officially eliminated from the playoffs, but the Bears have the number one overall draft pick. That was clinched yesterday at Soldier Field in the team's final home game of the year. And I see you texters. I do. A lot of you guys saying, You got to play Justin Fields for the entire game at Lambeau Field because, yes, the Bears would have a chance to eliminate the Packers. We all know how important that game is to the McCaskies and to, obviously, a lot of you Bears fans that are listening right now on the score. I do think you have to be reasonable, though, but we shall see. But I'm certainly taking that into account. Coming up here in just a little bit, we are going to have Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times on to get his opinions on everything, on what the Bears should do in the draft, what he thought of Justin Fields yesterday, and where this team is headed. So that's coming up in just a little bit. More of your calls as well, 312-644-6767. I do want to take you back to, was it Saturday that this was hitting? Yeah, it was on Saturday. The Ian Rappaport of NFL Network was speaking at halftime of one of the games and had some opinions on the Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus.
You mentioned the Chicago Bears, so let's talk about that with Matt Eberflus. And I think if you had asked a lot of people mid-season, from coaching agents to executives to teams that knew they were moving on from the coach, everybody would say, yeah, you know, the Bears probably fire Matt Eberflus, move on from there, give Ryan Poles the opportunity to hire a new coach. They have turned it around significantly. Four of the last six, six of the last 11 they've won, and obviously they dealt with a difficult defensive coordinator situation earlier in the season that actually has benefited them with Matt Eberflus calling plays. That defense has thrived. My understanding, Mike, is they are building momentum toward Matt Eberflus coming back for a third season. If all goes well, just like Tom mentioned with Arthur Smith, if all goes well, I would expect him back in 2024.
Yeah, and a lot of people twisted that, honestly. A lot of people made the report, it seemed to be splashing on Bears Twitter as Matt Eberflus coming back, and obviously it is far from that. They are building momentum towards, and I think all of us have been saying the exact same thing, that exists. Now, I reached out to some well-placed sources, and there was zero confirmation at this point of Matt Eberflus returning to the Chicago Bears. Is it plausible? Yes. Do I think he's probably going to be back? Yes, I do. And I laid out those answers a little bit earlier for you. But this was Matt Eberflus's reaction to Ian Rappaport. All right, we're going to get that here in just a little bit. In the meantime, in between time, let's go back to your phone calls at 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to Ray from Lyle. Hello, Ray. You're on the score.
Hi. Good morning. I want you to keep an open mind with this one. Last night they showed a stat, and I don't know if there were 24 teams and their quarterbacks and their backups or if it was 10, but they showed the stat that out of those quarterbacks that they listed, only five of those quarterbacks were starting at the end of the season as opposed to the beginning of the season. And with that in mind, and the fact that if I remember my memory's correct, the tag on Justin to keep him the extra year is only $5 million. With that in mind, why not draft a second quarterback? Let him fight it out for a year. Plus, you're still going to be able to trade one of those guys away for a decent pick. And that way you CYA yourself and you can find out for sure what's the right answer. I recognize the only problem with that is you got one that's a running quarterback and one that's more of a passer, pocket passer, but I don't think that should be out of the realm of possibility. I'd like your thoughts.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, look, I mean, my bold prediction this year, I didn't see it. It was supposed to be on the gram. I didn't see my bold prediction on the gram, but my bold prediction was that Justin Fields and Caleb Williams will start the season on the same roster next year and be duking it out. Now, I don't know if that is actually going to occur. I do think the Bears will draft a quarterback. It doesn't mean that Justin Fields won't be the starting quarterback, but at some point in time, yeah, you better draft the quarterback because, you know, no matter what happens in the final game of the year, I still don't think that you're going to know for sure that Justin Fields is going to be good or great or the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. So I do think that whether they use it at number one or somewhere with one of, you know, at least one pick in the first round, probably more, that, yeah, they will take a quarterback, and maybe there'll be some competition, but you better have somebody, a real developmental quarterback. And I don't think Tyson Bagent is that guy. I mean, he's already sort of gone beyond what we thought he was going to be. So I do think at some point in time, you're going to have to consider that for sure. So, yeah, CYA for sure. Before we go to break, really quickly, let's hear from Matt Eberflus now what he thought of Ian Rappaport saying that things seem to be heading in the right direction, that there's momentum towards Flus saving his job and being back next year with the Bears.
Like I said, many times, my eyes are forward on the corrections of this game. And I really don't pay attention to that. And I'm a football coach, right? So I know there's always going to be noise out there, good or bad. And if you listen to either one of them, guess what? You ain't doing your job. And for me, doing my job is focus on the men in that locker room and the coaches and the development of the Chicago Bears. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's what Matt Eberflus has said basically every time that we've asked him about his job security. And I was one of those people who asked him about that a couple of weeks ago. And I basically got the exact same answer, a little bit more like I'm here to be the leader and we'll let them evaluate what they have to evaluate. And by the way, for the texter here, the texter coming in fast and furiously, so I don't have it right in front of me. But somebody did point out that the caller earlier, and I thought I heard this too, that he mentioned Justin Fields having to deal with Darryl Loggins, who I can only assume he meant Dowell Loggins, who was nowhere near Justin Fields. They did not allow Dowell Loggins to that was Adam Gase's guy, and then it was Dowell Loggins. So I thought I heard that too. I was like, man, I just got up a few hours ago, so
that's a name that I hear now, and I'm like, why did I ever? Like, why is that ever being brought back up again?
Well, unfortunately, Tyler, we always do this with the quarterbacks, and we go back in history and mention, but we could play the offensive coordinator game too, because it's not like the offensive coordinator he had really left his print here, and that was Bill Lazor. Remember Bill Lazor? And John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach.
Mark Helfrich.
Mark Helfrich was the original Mitch Trubisky. Offensive coordinator. He never got his hands on Justin Fields either. These guys are always very interesting. I will tell you that. Like the offensive coordinators always had the best personalities and seem to be the most transparent. But yeah, we can work up a list real quickly of names that you don't want brought back here on these airways. But we did it. Coming up next, we are going to bring in my guy, Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times, to talk about Justin Fields and the Bears' number one overall draft pick, and maybe even some things that happened in the Bears' 37-17 win over Atlanta. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
70 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet. What I said, I'd rather be famous.
That's instead. Right. I let all that it's get not, to my head. No longer Daryl Drake. It's Doja Cat. Said what I said. Welcome back in to The Score. I'm Mark Grody. I get to be with you on New Year's Day until 11 this morning. Bears win 37-17 over Atlanta in impressive fashion. Justin Fields was very good. He moved the meter. The Bears officially eliminated from the playoffs, but the Bears have the number one overall draft pick. That was clinched yesterday at Soldier Field in the team's final home game of the year. And I see you texters. I do. A lot of you guys saying you got to play Justin Fields for the entire game at Lambeau Field because, yes, the Bears would have a chance to eliminate the Packers. We all know how important that game is to the McCaskies and to, obviously, a lot of you Bears fans that are listening right now on The Score. I do think you have to be reasonable, though, but we shall see. But I'm certainly taking that into account. Coming up here in just a little bit, we are going to have Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times on to get his opinions on everything, on what the Bears should do in the draft, what he thought of Justin Fields yesterday, and where this team is headed. So that's coming up in just a little bit. More of your calls as well, 312-644-6767. I do want to take you back to, was it Saturday that this was hitting? Yeah, it was on Saturday. The Ian Rappaport of NFL Network was speaking at halftime of one of the games and had some opinions on the Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus.
You mentioned the Chicago Bears, so let's talk about that with Matt Eberflus. And I think if you had asked a lot of people mid-season, from coaching agents to executives to teams that knew they were moving on from the coach, everybody would say, yeah, you know, the Bears probably fire Matt Eberflus, move on from there, give Ryan Poles the opportunity to hire a new coach. They have turned it around significantly. Four of the last six, six of the last 11 they've won. And obviously they dealt with a difficult defensive coordinator situation earlier in the season. That actually has benefited them with Matt Eberflus calling plays. That defense has thrived. My understanding, Mike, is they are building momentum toward Matt Eberflus coming back for a third season. If all goes well, just like Tom mentioned with Arthur Smith, if all goes well, I would expect him back in 2024.
Yeah, and a lot of people twisted that, honestly. A lot of people made the report, it seemed to be splashing on Bears Twitter as Matt Eberflus coming back, and obviously it is far from that. They are building momentum towards, and I think all of us have been saying the exact same thing, that exists. Now, I reached out to some well-placed sources, and there was zero confirmation at this point of Matt Eberflus returning to the Chicago Bears. Is it plausible? Yes. Do I think he's probably going to be back? Yes, I do. And I laid out those answers a little bit earlier for you. But this was Matt Eberflus's reaction to Ian Rappaport. All right, we're going to get that here in just a little bit. In the meantime, in between time, let's go back to your phone calls at 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to Ray from Lyle. Hello, Ray. You're on the Score.
Hi. Good morning. I want you to keep an open mind with this one. Last night they showed a stat, and I don't know if there were 24 teams and their quarterbacks and their backups or if it was 10, but they showed the stat that out of those quarterbacks that they listed, only five of those quarterbacks were starting at the end of the season as opposed to the beginning of the season. And with that in mind, and the fact that if I remember my memory's correct, the tag on Justin to keep him the extra year is only $5 million. With that in mind, why not draft a second quarterback? Let him fight it out for a year. Plus, you're still going to be able to trade one of those guys away for a decent pick. And that way you CYA yourself and you can find out for sure what's the right answer. I recognize the only problem with that is you got one that's a running quarterback and one that's more of a passer, pocket passer, but I don't think that should be out of the realm of possibility. I'd like your thoughts.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, look, I mean, my bold prediction this year, I didn't see it. It was supposed to be on the gram. I didn't see my bold prediction on the gram, but my bold prediction was that Justin Fields and Caleb Williams will start the season on the same roster next year and be duking it out. Now, I don't know if that is actually going to occur. I do think the Bears will draft a quarterback. It doesn't mean that Justin Fields won't be the starting quarterback, but at some point in time, yeah, you better draft a quarterback because, you know, no matter what happens in the final game of the year, I still don't think that you're going to know for sure that Justin Fields is going to be good or great or the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. So I do think that whether they use it at number one or somewhere with one of, you know, at least one pick in the first round, probably more, that, yeah, they will take a quarterback and maybe there'll be some competition, but you better have somebody, a real developmental quarterback. And you know, so I don't think Tyson Bagent is that guy. I mean, he's already sort of gone beyond what we thought he was going to be. So I do think at some point in time, you're going to have to consider that for sure. So, yeah, CYA for sure. Before we go to break, really quickly, let's hear from Matt Eberflus now what he thought of Ian Rappaport saying that things seem to be heading in the right direction, that there's momentum towards Flus saving his job and being back next year with the Bears.
Like I said, many times, my eyes are forward on the corrections of this game, and I really don't pay attention to that. And I'm a football coach, right? So I know there's always going to be noise out there, good or bad. And if you listen to either one of them, guess what? You ain't doing your job. And for me, doing my job is focus on the men in that locker room and the coaches and the development of the Chicago Bears. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's what Matt Eberflus has said basically every time that we've asked him about his job security. And I was one of those people who asked him about that a couple of weeks ago. And I basically got the exact same answer, a little bit more like I'm here to be the leader and we'll let them evaluate what they have to evaluate. And by the way, for the texter here, the texter coming in fast and furiously, so I don't have it right in front of me. But somebody did point out that the caller earlier, and I thought I heard this too, that he mentioned Justin Fields having to deal with Daryl Loggins, who I can only assume he meant Dowell Loggins, who was nowhere near Justin Fields. They did not allow Dowell Loggins to that was Adam Gase's guy, and then it was Dowell Loggins. So I thought I heard that too. I was like, man, I just got up a few hours ago, so
that's a name that I hear now, and I'm like, why did I ever? Like, why is that ever being brought back up again?
Well, unfortunately, Tyler, we always do this with the quarterbacks, and we go back in history and mention, but we could play the offensive coordinator game too, because it's not like the offensive coordinator he had really left his print here, and that was Bill Lazor. Remember Bill Lazor? And John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach.
Mark Helfrich.
Mark Helfrich was the original Mitch Trubisky offensive coordinator. He never got his hands on Justin Fields either. These guys are always very interesting. I will tell you that. Like, the offensive coordinators always had the best personalities and seem to be the most transparent. But yeah, we can work up a list real quickly of names that you don't want brought back here on these airways. But we did it. Coming up next, we are going to bring in my guy, Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times, to talk about Justin Fields and the Bears' number one overall draft pick, and maybe even some things that happened in the Bears' 37-17 win over Atlanta. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.